a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, you're very welcome. Here comes another Confessions podcast. There's a very entertaining introduction here about Thanksgiving, which, of course, we haven't celebrated, but because we don't do that kind of thing over here. But would it be a good idea, in one word, this is a vox pop. Here we go, it's a vox pop. Oh, would you like to have Thanksgiving here, Matt?
Giving thanks. We
a
just give thanks.
And
yeah,
meals.
I'll do that. Yeah, that's
Holly,
fine.
Holly, would you like a Thanksgiving here?
The food, yes. The sentiment, less sure on.
Oh, controversial.
Ooh. Doesn't like saying thank you.
No, that's okay. I do like saying
No.
It's got a history. There's a history
understood.
There, isn't there? No,
so
I don't
be
know.
A big day in the pub?
It would. It would be a big day in the pub. I would, again, take the day off for the food and being in the pub, but yeah, also kind of agree on the sentiment.
Sentiment doesn't like saying thank you. That's
wow.
Two of the women don't like saying thank you.
The
very
American
happy saying thank you.
History
Matt,
part of it.
Very happy to say thank you. So, you know,
Matt.
Just, this is not an American thing. This is a British thing. We're just being grateful for
being grateful.
Just like
being
the grateful. Heating being
100%.
On.
100%. Then surely Thanksgiving, that's almost like our harvest. Like if we made a big thing, if we made a bigger thing of Harvest Festival here, which I know schools do, but if we did like as a community,
welcome
then
to
that
the podcast.
Would be our Thanksgiving.
As you can tell.
Would we get a day off?
It's taken an unusual turn already. It's entirely my fault. But Sister Susie's not in the pub. She's here.
Right here.
Brother Matthew is here.
Yeah.
Sister Holly is here.
Uh-huh.
Coming up, we're going to be stopping at the parish notice board, all for the latest notices and the five-star reviews and the things that praise Matt for some reason, which he sent in himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll also head to the darker side of the parish, the not-for-broadcast section where we store the confessions that are complete filth and crossed out by Suze. Yeah. And we'll also have the fabulous confessions which did make it through, including Nikki's housekeeping horror, take out the papers and the trash, Gordon's stressed dad tale, This World of Water, Del Boy's confession, 1 year out. But first, we're kicking off with a very explosive tale from Martin and Rufus, had bad twinges, taken off the hinges. Very, very funny and entertaining, I think.
Yes. No, good. Well done.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Tonight's confession, which comes from Martin and Rufus. From two people, Martin and Rufus.
Two people?
Father and son.
Wow. Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dear Father Simon and the Toolbox of Tolerance.
Oh.
That's you guys.
Okay.
This week, my son and I have been reminiscing about his much-missed granddad, my late father, we'll call him Fred, whose birthday would have been approaching now. It's nearly 10 years since Dad passed away, and we feel it's finally time to seek forgiveness for a workplace escapade that's kept our family laughing and slightly wide-eyed for more than 30 years. The story takes us back to the early 1990s, when Dad was part of a close-knit maintenance crew working at a sprawling old factory, a place that had once rattled and boomed with building aircraft, parts for the war effort, and in later years, chunky road paving machinery. By the time Dad was there, the factory was long past its glory days, with drafty outbuildings, leaky roofs, and clanking machinery. All kept going by ingenious tinkering, gallons of tea, and the kind of practical wisdom passed along in the yard. One morning, the maintenance crew faced a formidable foe, an old sewer manhole cover in the works yard, locked down tight with decades of rust and neglect. In true Right Said Fred style, that's the Bernard Cribbins Right Said Fred, not the Right Herberts in vests.
Okay.
The entire squad assembled, took their turn to remove the offending cover with trowels, screwdrivers, crowbars, and sledgehammers. However, despite their valiant efforts and the cover being lubricated by both releasing oil and some classic industrial language, it would not budge. Time, as always, for a tea break. As the tea was brewing and plans were being hatched, one chap slipped off for a bit of me time in the outhouse because he needed, you know.
Got it.
While he's settled in, Dad's eye fell on some ancient, long-forgotten oxyacetylene kit covered in years of grime and dust in the corner of the yard. "Why don't we just cut the thing off?" he declared. One of those flashes of inspiration only possible with a fresh mug of tea in your hand. And instantly, the group was on board. The kit hadn't seen action in years, so Dad coaxed it back to life with a sort of cheerful disregard for danger that defined health and safety back then, when risk assessment meant checking if you still had your eyebrows after the job.
Yes.
helmet on, torch lit, and away he went. Soon enough, the cover began to hiss and glow, metal turning cherry red as the flame did its work. And then, suddenly, just as the crew congratulated themselves on their brilliance, a deep rumble started underfoot. The sound grew, a growl and then a roar. Everyone jumped back. There was a whoosh and then a spectacular kaboom! An explosion! Not from the manhole. The explosive noise emanated from the outhouse across the yard.
Oh, dear.
For a moment, silence, and then from the outhouse, their red-faced, startled colleague appeared, halfway between a run and a stumble, trousers round his ankles, clutching his newspaper, eyes wide as dinner plates after having his piece so spectacularly disturbed and his bottom burnt. Once sure that he had no one else was hurt except perhaps the poor chap's dignity, the entire team fell about, tears of laughter streaming down their faces. The escapade became a maintenance legend. The equation to remember: oxyacetylene torch plus sewer plus outhouse plus me time, whatever that is, equals explosion. Dad loved telling this story, and when he shared it with my son years later, they laughed so hard we had to ask for help. So Father Simon and the Toolbox of Tolerance, as we remember Fred on what would have been his birthday, my son and I humbly seek posthumous forgiveness for a granddad whose creative problem solving brought unexpected fireworks to the factory toilets, and hopefully gifted one unlucky chap a story he'll never live down. As a footnote, this probably all remains unknown to the residents whose semi-grand riverside apartments now stand on the hallowed ground of the old factory and its infamous outhouse. For the sake of privacy, we've changed my late father's name for the confession. Many thanks and best wishes, Martin and Rufus, sending in today's tale. Who would have thought it that you take an oxyacetylene torch to an old manhole cover and then there's this explosion
and then
in
everyone's
a toilet?
Toilets goes off. Right, wow.
Well, let that be a learning to you,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Susie, what do you say?
Well, I'm struggling with this one because I do think it was very funny, and I kind of want to also say danger, danger, though, but I feel like that was obvious that there was danger, danger.
Yes, and the oxyacetylene torch plus gas. Yeah,
exactly. Equals danger, danger. But I feel like I'm in a forgiving mood, so I'm going to forgive him.
Okay, Brother Matthew, what
so it was
saying?
The gas underneath the manhole cover that blew up the toilet. That was...
Well, the gas under the cover was clearly connected to the toilet.
Connected to the... Yes. Who'd have seen that coming? Nobody saw that coming, which is why he ended up with the burnt...
burnt backside.
Backside, that's right.
And presumably, you know, that's not just the only thing.
What? Oh, right, no. Yes. I mean, who knows? Yes, other things may have... I don't know. Anyway, I mean, it was all there.
At the beginning.
Hopefully.
Still had his paper, so that's
still
good
there.
News. Yes, I'm going to forgive, because nobody could have predicted that was going to happen. Because who knows about the gas? They didn't know the gas.
It's a sewer.
Well, but you'd have thought it'd all gone. I mean, the sewer was rusted over. That would be my assessment.
Is that right?
So for all those reasons, because of history, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Because of history?
Because of history of the gas. What a great point that guy made.
But you seem to be puzzled the fact it happened at all. It's a sewer and a toilet with gas.
Yes, but no one knew that there was gas under because it had rusted over, is my point.
No, but you get gas from sewage.
You get gas in the sewer. But my point is that they rusted on the manhole, so no one knew about the gas. If they'd opened up the manhole, they'd have been able to smell
anyway,
the gas.
Anyway, on the people's verdict...
And Gertie right says, again. Running from the outhouse with his newspaper, the dance of the flaming buttocks, forgiven 100%.
That's from Gertie.
Gertie, yes.
Dirty Gertie from number 30.
Number 30,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay. She's always writing in.
She is.
Oh dear. Very good. Now it's time to turn our eyes to the parish notice board. Matt, have you found some 5-star reviews?
Yes, I have. Here they come.
Have you got them?
Yes, I've got them right here. 5 stars, says Little Bear Rock. Great podcast, 5 out of 5.
Yes.
That's it. Thanks very much, Little Bear Rock.
Not a lot of effort there.
But 5 stars, that's what counts. Goes towards the algorithm, whatever. Disco Devel. No, Disco Dave 11. But it could be either. It could be Disco Devel. Let's say that. Disco DeVell says 5 stars. Always funny, occasionally outrageous, and endlessly listenable. A gem of a podcast. Well done, everybody involved. Thanks very much, Disco DeVell. Oliver B2008.
No, B-Tube.
B-Tube. Yes, Oliver B-Tube says, five stars. Hi, Father Simon, Matthew, yeah. Holly and Susie.
Wow.
I absolutely love this podcast. I've been listening to it since it started with my dad. It makes all car journeys of any length more entertaining. Now I can legally drive. I listen to you on my way to college, not St. Custard's. Oh. I have already recommended this podcast to my Latin teacher.
Wow.
Latin. Who now listens constantly. I've moved school now. Again? Oh, right. I've moved school now, and I'm trying to recruit all my teachers to the podcast, except for Yasmin. I don't think she's got a sense of humour. Wow. Bit of shade on Yasmin there. Not one for Matthew. Who's this Matthew? Literally no one. Anyway, never mind. Love the podcast, though, says Oliver B. Tube.
If you're,
keep it up.
I want to hear from Yasmin now. What's Yasmin, wrong with Yasmin?
Yeah.
No sense of humour.
I don't think she has.
But Oliver is quite a classy guy. He's learning Latin. He calls you Matthew, not Matt.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah, he is classy, yes.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
But Yasmin's not interested.
Or he's just entitled.
The Latin teacher now listens to it constantly, so it's clearly not a very good teacher if he's just consistently listening to the podcast.
Well, because of all the Latin, because we had Latin in last week, didn't we?
No, it was
Latin.
It was Greek.
And the Latin, and well.
Audere est facere.
Yes. To do is to...
To dare is to do.
To dare is to do. Yes. No points at Paris Saint-Germain. Anyway.
No points at home to PSV.
That's true.
Susie, what have you selected from the notice board?
I have an email from Emma, yes. And she says, I would like to firstly say thank you for entertaining my 13-year-old son every week.
Pleasure.
He's an avid fan and refuses to listen to any confessions through the week so he can binge the Friday podcast. He has very few household chores, but one of them is to wash and dry the dishes. This 20-minute task tends to last the same length of your show on a Friday, or I guess the podcast, or whenever he listens to it. He giggles and rushes to tell me all the latest stories. He doesn't seem to realise I am also listening to it in the next room, as he has it on so loud. I also enjoy it too. He listened to every episode available, even in the dark days. He's tried to find a different confession show to fill the gap, but hasn't found anything remotely as good yet.
No, he won't find anything. Yeah. Please
would you give him a shout out and remind him he's meant to do the dishes whilst he's listening and not after. And then she said, ha, I really don't mind. But if you would be kind enough to send him a small gift, I'm sure that would make his day.
First of all, before we decide that, when she says this 20-minute task tends to last the same length of your show on a Friday.
Yeah, well, I think it's because the podcast comes out on a Friday, isn't it?
So I think
she means the podcast, not the show.
Not the drive-time show. The spectacular that we do.
I think it's the podcast.
Well, let's applaud him for doing the washing up, isn't he?
Not
using a machine like all the others, but using his hands.
What's wrong with a dishwasher?
Washing up and using hot water.
Because hands that do dishes can be soft as your skin.
Soft as your skin. Sure, you're not using your face to wash up. Who uses their face? That's why you're not washing up.
It is face.
I've never heard of it.
Hands that do dishes are soft as your face. With Margaret.
Yeah, it says soft as your skin.
It's
not as soft as your skin because your hands are your skin.
Exactly. This is making my point. I can't believe. Wow.
As soft as your face, I think.
It is a mild green fairy liquid.
As soft as your face.
Wait, sing me the jingle again.
So my hands that do dishes can be soft as your face.
With mild green fairy liquid.
Yes.
I've never heard this before.
Wow.
I don't know that one. Just after the war.
Yeah. It was 1960s.
So. Okay, 1960s.
What, the 60s?
Okay, can we hear it?
You haven't got with hands,
mummy.
No hands that do dishes can feel soft as your face.
Oh,
face.
Right. Face. It might have been face. Very liquid.
Nice. Quite nice. Why don't they use that now? That's brilliant.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a classic. Yeah.
So hands that do dishes can be soft as your face.
Well, they must have remixed it for the 80s.
Anyway, the key point here,
edit point,
Emma would like something from the tack cupboard, I believe.
And she doesn't say the name of her son.
No. So let's ask Holly, 13-year-old son of Emma, does he get something from your cupboard?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll send him a nice mug and a postcard all signed by us.
Yay!
Who could ask for anything better. Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions here's a Jane, Michael Patterson, the Millers. You see all proper names. Jace, Linda G and Steve Jenkins. Excellent. Who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, coated with death.
Oh, yes.
Coated with death.
Why was it coated with... That doesn't sound very nice.
Because of the... the
death
coat. Story.
Yep, that's okay. The one.
Story.
It was the tree.
Tree,
and
well done, Holly.
Poison all over
poison
the
all over the tree. The grass. The tree.
It was a neighbour trying to kill... Have you not listened to last week's podcast?
That's a little bit
I have not
embarrassing.
Yet.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe do the washing up and
podcast
then...
Podcast prison for you.
Listen I'm always in podcast prison.
Yes. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. And now it's time for the rather grubby part of the show, the not-for-broadcast section, the Mark Knopfler bit. The confessions were deemed too dark, too dangerous, or just too disgusting by Susie particularly, and she's in charge for tea time. Starting with you, Matthew, on a school camping trip, you and your tent mates decided that the best way to deal with Richard, the self-appointed Adonis of the school, was to encourage him into a minty menthol-related experiment. Don't understand that bit. The ensuing screams apparently woke up most of Provence, but a confession involving toothpaste and one very distressed little Richard is not suitable for broadcasting, but I'm not quite sure what's
happening. I have no
there.
Idea what's going on
what
in
has
any
happened
of that.
There?
Okay. There's so Richard.
Yes.
And
is the bad one.
And his little Richard.
Oh, and Mr. Happy.
Richard. Oh,
Mr.
Right. Okay,
Happy.
Okay. Already I can see why we didn't.
And
okay.
Menthol. Minty toothpaste.
Right. So did the toothpaste have a meeting with Mr. Happy?
Yeah.
Okay. So the self-appointed Adonis of the school ended up with toothpaste on his Mr. Happy.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait,
why
so
would he
they
do
Matthew?
What was he doing?
Not you. This Matthew.
Matthew sent it in.
Yeah. Matthew put toothpaste.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he did it personally, but he
Richard
dared.
Did.
Richard to do it.
Oh, I see, dared him.
Yeah, well, not necessarily dared him. He was like, "Have you never done it? It was really great. This is really cool. It's really exciting."
Why would anyone do that?
Well, he was a kid. He didn't know, and they were all telling him that it was great because they wanted to get him down a peg or two.
Yes, because he was a bit of an Adonis.
Because
unless he was just trying to freshen up.
Freshen up. Very good. Excellent,
Kevin. I know you were young. And half asleep, but a 4 a.m. call out, a post Ruby Murray emergency, and a hasty deposit behind the steamer house.
What?
Okay.
Takes a turn that simply can't be aired at tea time. Not only did you forget your early morning delivery, but poor Bob, armed with a jet washer and no idea what awaited him, ended up wearing the evidence.
None of this makes any sense. What's he doing?
What do you mean?
He's wearing the evidence. With a steam?
He's got a jet washer. He's used a
jet washer on himself?
No, different person. Are you paying attention?
This is making no sense.
Right, so
I get the bit that he goes behind the steam house.
Kevin goes behind the steam house because he had a curry last night.
Tries hard, yeah.
He is like, oh, it's really early in the morning. I'll deal with that after the emergency call out that I've got to do.
I'll deal with that.
Yeah, sort it out, clean it up.
Okay.
But Bob had the jet washer.
In the meantime...
Bob is
like, oh, I'm going to clean the yard. Cleans the yard, hits...
Doesn't see the little delivery.
Present.
And it hits the fan.
And all over Bob.
All over... Bob. I still don't know how it's hitting Bob.
Because it's got a jet washer and sprays.
It sprays.
We don't spray at him. Listen, I'm not an expert
Bob
on jet wash, but you point it away from you, don't you?
Yeah, but
you get
backwash. Yeah.
Backwash?
Yeah.
No. Could the toothpaste have helped?
Yes, it could. Yeah. Here's hoping. Yeah. Anyway,
enough of that. It's back to the confessions that made the cut. With Gordon's parenting peril, this world of water...
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Gordon. Ah. Thanks, Gordon. Simon and the Figureheads of Forgiveness. I wish to bring a confession to your attention that involves a very tired dad and a 21-month-old who can't hold her drink. On this morning in question... Sensing my darling wife needed a break, I suggested I take our two young daughters out shopping. Now, shopping with my daughters is a mixed experience. I view it as a stressful mess of trying to keep multiple tiny people happy and engaged, and they view it as an opportunity to wind me up and then request various treats. And it was during one of these divide-and-conquer moments that they requested drinks. Not being heartless, I relented. I managed to load them into a trolley and promptly began to load it with some water. So they had some water bottles to drink from, because that's a very good thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
during a long and in-depth discussion with my seven-year-old about cheese that her little voice piped up. Yeah, Dad, we're leaking. That's my six-year-old voice, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, right,
nice.
Good.
Well Nailed done.
Yeah.
Her little protestation was earned, as her little sister had proceeded to lose control of her water bottle, and the entire contents of her mostly full large water bottle had now cascaded through the bottom of the trolley and onto a small lake under the trolley. Mm. I was horrified at the rapidly growing body of water developing. My youngest was celebrating her ability to produce a water feature in Sainsbury's, with much applauding from her. I was horrified, and the other shoppers behind me were glaring because we were blocking off the fine dairy products. I pushed my trolley on, believing I'd be able to locate a member of staff to inform them of our accident. I then realised that there were two members of staff behind me. I was sheepishly making my way back to inform them of the new reservoir that we had created when I heard what appeared to be a junior member of staff turn to his manager and say, "I think the leak is spreading. It's in this aisle too. And this one is even worse." "Well done, Nigel," says the boss guy. "We'll have to get maintenance out to get this mess sorted."
Ah.
Both Nigel and his manager then proceeded to look up to the ceiling and stare intently, as if to rectify it by giving it a good hard stare. They were looking for a leak, which was obviously coming from the roof. As I thought about my approach, I then thought, hang on, the other aisle? I wheeled my trolley round to see the previous aisle we'd been in, and right enough, there was a small lock in the middle of this aisle too. This ball was being attended by two members of staff and more cones than an ice cream van. I spoke to my eldest daughter and said, "Did your little sister spill her water here as well?" "Well, sort of, Daddy. She spilled her drink here, and then I gave her mine to drink, so she spilled the other one there."
Right, okay.
I realised here that my youngest had now spilt a litre of water over the floor. My youngest was soaked to the skin, although was celebrating with much clapping of hands and laughter. Other shoppers saw my poor water baby and started to tut loudly and shake their heads. I was being judged. I couldn't take the shame of my failure to prevent my daughter from attempting to flood the aisles. I went back to the site of my discovery and found a plethora of staff mopping, staring upwards and attempting to set up the largest set of ladders I had ever seen. I heard of them potentially closing the store for a short while. All the time, the staff were staring in large numbers at the cavernous roof in case a sharp-eyed individual could scream, "We found the leak, stand down the sandbags." But when they couldn't, and in fact wouldn't be able to find, is the fact there was no leak, merely a toddler with poor hand-to-eye coordination. There was no crack in their roof. There was just my child in the trolley. So like a coward, a very, very tired coward, I ran away. I was tired of the judging, tired of preventing spillages, and simply just tired. I should have fessed up, but it felt like I would be confirming what they'd already suspected. By the time we left, half the team at the fine supermarket were attempting to find leaks that they believed covered a sizable portion of the ceiling. But Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, I wish to apologise to the hard-working staff of our local supermarket. They were scanning the ceiling for leaks that weren't there. And one particularly nervous lad was forced to climb a 20-foot ladder to get a better look at their perfectly serviceable ceiling. "Sorry, folks, I was just tired," says Gordon. A 20-foot ladder?
Wow.
That is a monster.
How big's it? Right, okay.
Okay, I mean, I think he was 20. Well, yeah, how tall is that? It's 20 foot.
Well, no, I was going to say, how big is the ceiling? It's obviously, you know, near
22 feet.
That's what I'm going to say.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah. 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 You say that.
So a lot of work was caused by going shopping with two young daughters, and Gordon needs some forgiveness, but is he going to get any? Let's check in with Sister Susie, who I think will.
I'm struggling with this because I, you know, have a 2.5-year-old who I can totally see doing this exact same thing. And also, at the very start, Gordon goes to say that he's doing this because he's giving his wife a break. Now, isn't that nice? He's parenting. He's taking his children to let his wife have a moment. And I think that is a good thing.
Yes.
I also think that, you know, there isn't really... if he'd have left the water and not told anyone about it, and someone could have fallen over or tripped, and then that would have been dangerous. Yeah. But he didn't. There were people attending the water. So as much as, apart from the 20-foot ladder, that does sound quite scary, but I am going to forgive Gordon because he's a parent and, you know, we all need forgiveness.
It's a little bit stressful sometimes, Brother Matthew.
Yes, but I'm going to forgive because, you know, I mean, as Sue says, he was trying to point it out. He went over to, but they were all obsessed with this leak, weren't they? They were all obsessed with looking up at the ceiling, 22 feet in the air, yes. In the air, and
the
therefore, and the
air,
the air, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And and they, didn't they think to look at the toddler with the empty water bottle? That would have been my first thought, Moriarty. So. For all of those reasons,
yes.
I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Is that a Sherlock Holmes reference?
There was, wasn't there? That snuck in. Well done, everyone, on that.
You really changed during that confession.
I changed.
22 feet in the air, talking about Moriarty.
Yeah,
there was a lot going on.
I was very classy, wasn't I, on
I
agree. I think you,
You've changed, man.
Yeah, airs and graces.
Airs and graces. Ours and graces, even, yes.
Ours.
Rude. still to come, there's a classic tale involving spilt ashes with Nikki's housekeeping horror. Take out the papers and the trash, but first it's Del Boy's confession, 1 year out.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Del Boy the doorman.
Oh dear.
Simon and the Magistrates of Forgiveness, I have loved the confessions for years. Right back to your time at the station that we don't talk about.
Oh yeah.
Whatever that is. Mm. My story only goes back to earlier this year, however, around April, I believe. One of the many benefits of being retired is being able to sit down at 10:30 in the morning for Popmaster with a nice cup of tea without work interruptions. My wife, who we're going to call the Princess, always sits with me. But although I pride myself on having a reasonably good knowledge of music, she loves music but is somewhat less interested in, let's say, the finer details of who recorded the song and when it came out. This results, on the odd occasion that she knows the answer to a question, she quickly shouts it out before I say it and then sits back to celebrate 3 points as if she's a lottery winner.
Okay.
Very, very annoying. On the day in question, we settled down listening to Ken talking to the first contestant about their interests, and then they chose their bonus question subject. And when we were ready to go, the front doorbell went. So the Princess says, "Don't worry, I'll get it," giving the impression that might be up for debate when Popmaster is on, and went to the door just as Ken was asking the first question. As you know, Simon, the first question is usually straightforward, and this day was no exception. Ken asked this question: what was Right Said Fred's first number one? This led to the Princess opening the door to delivery man from Every.
Okay.
Other couriers are available, and simultaneously shouting, "I'm too sexy!"
Oh, no.
In the man's face.
Wow.
Nice and loud, that I could hear it, but so could the Every delivery man. Our usual chatty delivery man handed over the parcel and made a very hasty retreat. Simon, whilst the Princess will never get to Ken's Champions League Popmaster at the end of the year, she is a World Cup standard online shopper, which means our delivery driver is a very regular visitor to our house. And since day, I have been allocated to answer the door each and every visit because there is still a definite look of panic when he presses the doorbell, but a look of relief when he sees that it's me.
Brilliant.
The Princess needs forgiveness from the poor man from Every for the trauma she has caused him, which must surely have led to him having time off with stress and the need to reassess his career options. If every time he delivers a parcel, he's told by the door opener that they're just too sexy, things could get out of hand. This isn't Surrey, you know. Her defence has always been that if it was Ken's fault... Oh, no, her defence has always been that it was Ken's fault.
Yes.
For asking a question like that when the doorbell rang. But as I pointed out to her, blaming a national treasure would only result in her being probably thrown into the Tower of London. Mm-hmm. And Simon, if you do happen to think this mishap is worth reading out on your show and you want to send us a smart speaker, please don't send it by Every. The poor guy has been through enough. Thanks to you and the team for such a great show. Now, the only thing who signs off Come on, you Spurs.
Does he? Just draw my attention.
Yeah. Now, the only thing that puzzles me about this is that Right Said Fred's first number one was not I'm Too Sexy. That only got to number two.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
the first number one was Deeply Dippy or something equally annoying.
Okay.
But, so I'm not, that would that have been a first question? You see, that sounds like a catch question. Because everyone is going to say I'm Too Sexy.
Yeah,
exactly like the princess did.
Yeah, there you
just
go,
not
see.
To the face of the delivery man.
No, good point.
So anyway, so yeah. I'm not quite sure about, I don't know whether the right answer was actually given. But anyway, these are sort of pop mastery kind of concerns, and we're going back to April, but it's you know, I'm not sure what Sister Susie's going to make of this from a production point of view, you know.
Well, I think that Del Boy, you know he says nothing interrupts Popmaster. Well, she still heard it when she was at the door, didn't she? She could still hear it because she answered the question.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he'd have just got up and answered the door that time,
he could have said I'm Too Sexy to the every man.
Or maybe he wouldn't shout it out, and then he wouldn't have to get up all the many times that he's now had to get up because she won't answer the door. So I feel like he's shot himself in the foot,
also,
really.
Also, it's the wrong answer. He should have said, Deeply Dippy, and yes, there wouldn't have been
then,
a comparison.
Yeah,
really.
Well, yeah, she said it and then it was wrong anyway. So, I am not going to forgive.
No, absolutely no points at all. Matthew?
I'm going to forgive. It strikes me this will have been the highlight of the delivery guy's day. And also, I'm sure they have it on in the van. He's got it on his van. Listening to Ken and Popmaster, hasn't he? So he will have wanted to know what was the answer to what was your man's first hit. So for all of those reasons given, I and George McRae believe that he shall be forgiven.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Here we go with today's confession, which comes from Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. Dear Simon and the confessional team, I have a tale from my childhood that still wakes me in a cold sweat and will explain why I've never trusted a vacuum cleaner all my life. Who knows where this is going to go?
Right, not there.
Oh, dear.
No.
What?
No, not. It's not that kind of confession. You'll see where we're going.
Good.
It's bad enough anyway, without you making it worse.
I hope we're not going where Matt's going.
My parents ran... That'll be for the podcast. My parents ran a small hotel on the south coast of Cornwall. The name will remain anonymous to protect everyone, including myself. As the youngest of three girls, I was automatically drafted into hotel duties during weekends and school holidays. Think of it as character building, I was told. I thought of it as forced labour. We had many loyal guests who returned every summer, including one lovely family whose parents had been visiting since before I was even born. One particular year, they arrived following a recent bereavement. They spent the evening with my mum and dad in the bar, swapping memories over gin and sympathy. The next morning, I was assigned to chambermaid duty with my mum, a job I absolutely loathed. She left me alone in one of the bedrooms to vacuum, which is where things took a dramatic turn. I knocked a hold all off the bed, the contents spilled over the floor, and, ever the dutiful daughter, I hoovered it all up without question. When Mum returned, I cheerfully explained what had happened. Her face went white. Not cross Mum, not you're in trouble, Mum. No, this was something unspeakable has occurred, Mum.
Oh dear.
She vanished downstairs and reappeared seconds later, clutching a cooking implement. Never a good sign in the context of housekeeping. We have to be quick, she said. Your dad's on guard in reception. And that's when she removed the Hoover bag from the Hoover, thrust a sieve into my hands, and proceeded to pour its contents through it. There I stood, obediently shaking out the mixture of greyish ash, carpet fluff, and, well, I don't want to think too hard about the rest, into the cremation urn that had been hidden the holdall. Once full, Mum screwed the lid back on with all the reverence she could muster. I think we said amen, laid the holdall neatly on the bed, and we fled the room as if nothing had happened. Downstairs, Dad was entertaining the guests in the bar with the enthusiasm of a man whose sole job was to delay anyone from going upstairs and discovering two women sieving their loved one's remains out of a vacuum cleaner. The urn was later taken out to sea and scattered with great dignity. The family were none the wiser, although there may have been a trace more carpet fibre within the ash than originally intended.
Dust.
And that, yes, dust to dust, carpet fibre to carpet fibre.
Yeah.
And that, Simon, is how I accidentally hoovered up a guest's ashes. Please forgive me. From Nikki. So we didn't go where Matt was afraid that we would go because it's not that kind of show. But it was pretty, it was bad enough, and Sister Susie speaks now.
Yeah, Nikki, I it wasn't your fault. You know, you maybe shouldn't have been doing the job. They should have done it themselves rather than send a child to help them out, or a teenager. But I just can't forgive the idea of them coming upstairs and finding you with a sieve. And a Hoover and an urn.
It's very Fawlty Towers, isn't it?
Can't forgive. Sorry, Nikki.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse, couldn't it, really? I mean, when she came back up the stairs with the sieve, I thought she was going to come back up with, you know, a few ashtrays or something, and they were going to just use that. And it turned out they didn't, did they? They used the sieve. Who'd have thought that the dust would go through the sieve? But it did, which was great, and great presence of mind from everyone there. So, yeah, so I'm going to forgive. Could have been far, far worse.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Dust will always go through a sieve, won't it? Because dust is very, very...
But doesn't dust in an urn, it's a bit... isn't it a bit chunkier? I don't know. I've
don't know.
Not really. Never tried it myself. But that would be my instinct. Depends on the size of the sieve, I suppose, as well. That also is a fact.
Yeah.
How quickly you... Shake
the
shaken back.
Put the
freshness
back.
Let's play that. There we go.
Is that another one I've missed?
Yeah. Put the freshness back.
Yeah, let's get some ads on this show.
If I can't remember how that goes.
Something. Know what to do. Shaken back. Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
Because we've run out of tape, so the podcast has to close. Yeah. If you have a tale of guilt of any kind, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and the secret code phrase this week is mind the jet wash. Mind the jet wash is your secret code phrase for this week.
Ooh.
Okay, posh, silly voice at the end. If you've made it this far, you can post that phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky, or Matt Williams on Twitter, because he's still
there. Holding out against the...
Or are you? Or are you submerged in the filth? Anyway, remember to leave us a five-star review. Need something for Matt to read out. And of course, as we head into the season of goodwill and gifting, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend in a bath or a colleague at work in the shower.
No.
Also, Christmas confessions. We like some of those, please. Send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Back next week with another fresh batch. Until then, from the pub, but actually here, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly sings...
Hasta la vista, baby!
Wow.
Nice vibrato.
That was good, wasn't it?
And from the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
I only listen to this podcast when I want to be awake. When I am awake, that's when I listen to this podcast.
Okay.
Let's put that in the reviews.